George Menlo's niece. Mm-hmm. That's who she was, mm-hmm. you know. And but I didn't see none of the others that were around, you know, really Frank Greenlee's son and all that, you know. And then Jim Hanna, he, you know, he was somewhat interested, but that Simeo, wasn't nothing happening with him, yeah. you know. Yeah. But did you ever hold any offices in a union?
No.
No? No boards? You're never a board member or anything like that? And you remember them old guys like the Joe Westrays and the Browns and the Honey Boys. And,
oh, yeah, all of them, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you ever go down to Winco Club, you know, back on Ledley? Yeah.
Lowendine.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I remember, yeah, back there.
Yeah, yeah, with, because I played back there, Greg Parnell did uh-huh. with me. And
yeah, and then they all signed, I remember they had sessions on Sundays up there.
Right, because Kelly.
Kelly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
That's where I met my wife at.
Huh.
I fell one Sunday after.
Oh, yeah.
The
low end. Yeah, I read that, yeah.
Because all them guys with the Turks was there.
Right, right.
They should all be up there on yeah. Sunday. Tommy yeah. Sewell and them.
Yeah, yeah. Because mm-hmm. I think we used to play, when I was up, I used to play till 9 o'clock. No, we played in the night session. But I think we would play early, and then they would have a session after we would finish up,
uh-huh.
you know. And then I think after we left, then they just had a Sunday night session. Because I remember Greg Parnell and I think Dave Lee, in some kind of way, it, you know, they felt that they was taken away from what we was doing on the Sundays, but the session thing, all the guys would come to the sessions, mm-hmm. you know. You didn't do any playing in high school. What school did you go to? High school did you go to?
Shenley.
You went to Shenley, and yeah. you didn't play any at all in Shenley.
No, I didn't play in school. Yeah. You know, my dad was trying to get yeah. me in the in the.
Yeah.
And my interest didn't.
Wasn't
you know,
yet.
Didn't.
Yeah.
yeah. I kind of picked up the interest around that those last mm-hmm. couple of years,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't get into
right.
the school bands.
Right. 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 Okay, because Billy Lewis, he was at Heron Hill.
In my head, he was there at Heron Hill.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a couple of my buddies here, it was Walt's nephew. Walt Arthur's nephew
mm-hmm.
was a good friend of mine. His sister's son.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
His name is Frank Griffin.
What did he play?
He had kind of played a little bit of saxophone, just a little bit back then.
Well, was
they lived on Mount Vernon Street after
okay.
we left the hills.
Yeah. Okay. Did you know Dwayne Dolphin and them back in them early days? Because I didn't know nothing about him.
No, they were much you know.
Yeah.
They were, all those guys were much younger.
Yeah. Okay. Because.
They might not have been even.
You know, yeah, all of a sudden, bam, here he is out there, and supposedly, I don't even know what school he came from.
They went to Shimmer, because I asked about him and Tony Campbell and them. They're all around the
oh,
same.
Oh, Tony, Tony went to Shimmer, too.
They were all up from up in the Shimmer Heights area.
Oh, okay.
They all lived up in there.
Right, okay.
And
okay.
went to, you know, Shimmer High School.
Okay.
But all those guys were much younger.
Yeah.
Then you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, Kenny, you've helped me. Your dad, did he tell you much? I mean, you know, like, was he playing a lot in your younger days? Did you see him getting ready to go on the gigs?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so forth?
I remember him always leaving, you know, going to.
Yeah, going to work.
Going
yeah.
to work, yeah.
Yeah. Did he... Do you recall what bands he worked with? Do you remember?
I remember when I was a kid, and I got pictures
mm-hmm.
in those scrapbooks.
Find them.
Okay, he had a small group. Now they were gone. I guess he was working every night. Mm-hmm. He would leave with his tuxedo.
Right.
And then he had a group with, there was Four Tones or something, I think. Mm. There was Mildred Stern.
Oh, okay, I've heard that name, yeah.
Vern Stern's
wife. Yeah,
they,
right.
And then there was a cousin of ours that played with the Merle Pace.
Merle Pace, right, okay. That's your cousin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all the Paces were our cousin, yeah.
Right.
Because I got pictures of all them, you know.
Find them for me, mm-hmm. Yeah, because that'd be good. And then, because Kmart has a copier, you know, you can make it, and it looks like a picture. See, because the Kinko thing, that didn't work, mm-hmm. You know. Because I remember Merle Pace and him, guitar player.
Yeah.
Because I remember him at Gambrelli's working one of them, either Lucky Bar or one of them clubs on Frankstown, because Gambrelli was telling me that they had one number that they would play. They'd start at probably like quarter to 12, closeout time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. They just play that all night long, all night, you know, close the doors and they still play that song. he said that was their finale. let's see, what else? Most of your work has been right here locally. The clubs and things, and never been connected with any established band for any length of time. You've been more a freelance tenor player.
Yeah, that's just I guess the way it just
That evolved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've been a band leader on occasions.
On occasions,
call you the front your own thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's you've been a big help. That's. Good enough. Find some of them pictures, and I'll come out sometime. And, you know, let me borrow a couple of them, and we'll make copies of them.
Yeah, I got to dig because I got all those scrapbooks packed up. You know, and I got all those pictures in there.
Yeah, well, do that for me. We need. I need a little personal information on you. Your name and. Some of the recordings that are being there's a lot of recordings done, but it's that sideline. It's not legitimate recordings where you go in as a union contract and you get paid $3.75 for mm-hmm. a recording session and that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, we'll go in and we'll do this, and I might give you $50. If not, thanks.
Yeah.
Or I'll take you out and buy you a drink.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on.
I hear you.
See, just like you said. What little bit of recording that you've done. There's a lot of that going on, so there's no money involved.
Right.
So Doc and them, they were talking about, we want to get in on some of the recording and this, that, and get some money, and then that 400, whatever figure that they were trying to get, because we had, it was a class action suit, and we had forms to fill out, all those that were named in this class action suit to divvy up whatever this money was.
Yeah.
And they were so busy talking about money. And I said, money is not the issue. The issue is jobs.
Yeah.
If we can get, just like I mentioned a minute ago about the MPT, those summer concerts and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and that's our money.
Mm-hmm.
See, that belongs to every member in the union is entitled to some of that money.
Okay?
And if we could just, get some of those jobs and get some of the guys involved in those jobs. I know part of when I first started working, I used to get this thing about the experience. You don't have the experience.
you can't get it if you're not allowed the opportunity to perform.
That's
that,
right.
The function in that capacity.
They pull it by your boots.
Right.
Boots, you ain't
right.
got no boots.
Right. So, but Joe was, but he really got stripped. See, because Joe was the president of our local, and then when the merge came about, they made him a board member.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, kind of hard to take.
Cut his voice down.
It was kind of hard to take. Did you, you didn't participate in the summer concert things. What kind of information would you say to, you know, some of the younger guys coming along in terms of performing in the music?
Young guys like Rodney McCoy, they got the right idea now, because what they're starting to do is, like, really organize and they document everything that's done, and they're going in a more organized way. If everybody would get more organized, I think it would come out a lot better. Mm-hmm. I mean, be thinking. Don't just go out there to play. Have your mind
right.
and be attentive
right.
and watch, because a lot of skullduggery's going on out there. You know.
Okay. Well,
I need to be negative about
no,
it.
No. You're right. Well, what would you tell young drummers? You know, young drummers come on.
Be more dedicated. Just be as dedicated as you can, because if you're going to be out there, there's a lot of competition out there. And be able to read that music and stuff, because those good jobs come by. I don't know how they're doing now. They don't have too many pit orchestras and stuff like that no more. But they do have concerts where you have to back up, say, a vocalist or all that, and be able to, or just with the band, if they got arrangements and stuff, you have to know how to read that stuff. It makes it a whole lot easier for you, you know? Yeah, get that education. It's the same as anything else. Get your education in whatever you're doing.
Would you suppose a young kid near ready to come out of high school that plays around and so forth, and he's thinking of going to college, would you counsel him to take music or some other kind of, you know, major in college?
Well, if you feel like music, music is just as honorable profession as anything else, as far as I'm concerned. It's a job like anything else. So if that's what you feel like you want to be, as a musician, do it the whole nine yards with it and get it all together and be prepared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that James Johnson is one of the nice things out there with that school he has.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids should be doing that now, you know. Don't be holding back, going out to let the doctor teach you.
Mm-hmm.
You got some qualified people out there too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. If by chance I have to come back, there's some additional information that we would want, you know, you don't have any objections to...
You know what, this is great for me, because it gives me a chance to reminisce about some of the good times I had. Singers like Spanky Wilson, we used to back her a lot.
Right.
And these were what I call world-class musicians, you know.
Right.
It wasn't just a local Pittsburgh thing. It was a worldwide thing, man. And girl out of Braddock, Dolores Ware was a great singer back in the day.
Did you do anything? Well, Sarah Ford before your time.
Sarah Ford, I didn't know her.
Yeah, she's before your time. Yeah.
But there's been some good singers come through. I remember Dakota.
Yeah.
I was just getting into her when she was getting her big break. We could talk all day about the musicians, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as aside what you talk about, did I get anything out of them? That is.
Well, I kind of think. I don't know whether you, I don't know what your thoughts were, you know, in terms of what you expected from the merge. You know,
I got real bitter about it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because
after the
merger, after Joe Westray had already pre-warned me or forewarned me, and I said, well, like, maybe Joe might be wrong on this one, but he never was wrong with anything else. So forgive me, Joe, you know, for doubting, for having a little bit of doubt.
Yeah.
Forgive me for that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I learned through contact with traveling musicians, because I know a lot of shows and things that I would play, on rare occasions, there'd be a black one that would come through. And in talking to them, and it's our situation here in Pittsburgh. One thing that we can rest assured or feel a little, breathe a little easier about is our situation was not the only one. See, we were not, you know, our situation, we were not the only.
We weren't unique, in other words.
Right, right. Yeah, and it happened everywhere. I talked to a guy out of Washington, D.C., who is, he's an appointed officer in the, you know, the Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that, you know, all over the country, the black locals, the black musicians, I mean, there's a handful that managed to get through. Get that book.
Okay.
Get that book and read that book. There's a section in there, I'm positive of it, because their merger was in 65. And there's a little...
Where is that from?
Jackson Street After Hours.
Oh, the same book you're talking
about. Right.
Okay.
And they were talking about it. There's a few guys that managed to get through. And, I mean, I'm speaking like this because I'm living proof.
Yeah.
Of the few people
they
that got through.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those guys, Boswell would have been doing what he's doing regardless.
That's right, Bobby. You know, possibly the greatest bass player. Right. Oh, and, boy, and, Boswell, yeah.
But it, there's a price that I've had to pay to do this. I mean, I've been subject to a lot of comments and a lot of things
really
from a lot of people.
Even your own people.
Right,
yeah.
But
somebody got to do it.
Well, that's it. You know, I mean, and I, you know, I didn't know any other way because I came, I played all through high school, junior high. Mm-hmm. I was in the band in sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
See, I started in sixth grade.
Were you in the city or where were you from?
No, country, out here in Ben Avenue, where I'm living.
Oh, right. Well, that's the city.
You know, suburban as well. Yeah. But I, because I got a horn at Christmas time,
uh-huh.
And by May Day, the May festivities,
right.
I was in a band.
Okay.
At sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I went in seventh, and we didn't have, you know, junior and senior high. It was just, you know, whatever.
Right.
But I played band, orchestra, and dance band. We had a little dance band in my sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Sure.
But all I've ever done is read, and like you said, listening to older guys and the information and things that they put in me,
mm-hmm.
I know that you got to have a decent sound, and you got to be able to, you know, to play, and you got to be able to do.
Yeah.
So that when the merge happened, that's what I could do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guys were on me because I'm capable and qualified to do these things, but I got to take this flack from these guys that are not competent.
Yeah, because if you're not qualified, you ain't supposed to be on the door. That's
right. You know.
Because you can go out there, they put the chart up in front of you.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You
got to
do it, mm-hmm. You know. And now, next Sunday, you get a chance, come out to Shadyside and check Balcony Band next Sunday.
Okay. Are you in the
Balcony
Band?
Well, this Sunday, yeah, I'm in the Balcony Band.
All right.
Yeah. Because,
yeah.
See, I've been, I'm on a mission. I mean, it's selfish,
uh-huh.
but it's worthwhile because if my credentials will speak for itself.
Oh, yeah.
And the things that I've been doing. You know,
and I always thought you were a fantastic trumpet player.
Things
man.
That I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to show them that, hey, we can do it.
Yeah.
You know, this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you give me that chance, I'll, to the best of my ability. I mean, there's some phenomenal players around here.
Yeah.
You know, but I hold my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm representing us.
You're one of the masters in the trade.
If these guys, if I can't make the job, I would, you know, it hurts me to miss a job because
mm-hmm.
I know if I'm not there, then it's in a white boy.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens.
That's what they want to say anyway.
Yeah.
That's what they
want to say.
Yeah.
But we'll... if like I said, if I have to get back to you, I'll kind of give you a call and.